This afternoon, we're going to continue to work through the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And as we continue to work through the person and work of the Holy Spirit, I would like you all to think about death for a moment. I don't think that when we talk about the work of the Holy Spirit, or if somebody asks, what does the third person of the Trinity do for one's redemption? We don't often go to thinking about death. But the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God, has a task that is related to the death of the saints. We've talked about the work of the Spirit in eternity past. We've talked about His work within the covenant of redemption and what it means for the Spirit to be the one who would apply redemption after Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, accomplished redemption. So we know that for our conversion and for the work of regenerating us and drawing us to Christ, that is all work that the Spirit of God does. But when we think about the work of the Spirit of God, we need to understand and we need to know that the work of the Spirit in our lives personally, as someone in union with Christ, that work does not end at death. And it may take a moment just to wrap your minds around that. You know, we think of the death of someone who is in Christ, someone who is a believer, and we think of them coming into the presence of Christ, and they're in heaven, which we talked about this morning, right? But we don't often think, or at least I confess that I don't often think about the role that the Holy Spirit has after the death of someone who is in Christ. We're going to begin meditating on that today, and we'll continue into that next week. Now, a way that I would like to frame our discussion this afternoon comes from question 37 of the Shorter Catechism. The Shorter Catechism helps us to understand something of the role of the Spirit after the death of a saint. The question is, what benefits do believers receive from Christ at death? And you might say, well, Pastor Nathan, that doesn't say what benefits do believers receive from the Spirit at death. And you may argue that this isn't something that comes from the Spirit. But I would counter with that and say that the work that the Holy Spirit does is applying that which Jesus Christ has secured. So a work that Jesus has purchased, it's the role of the Spirit to apply in their economy, is the language that we use for that. So what benefits do believers receive from Christ at death? The answer is the souls of believers are, at their death, made perfect in holiness, do immediately pass into glory, and their bodies, still being united to Christ, do rest in their graves until the resurrection. So we see that the first thing that happens is that those who are in Christ, when they die, their souls are made perfect in holiness. Made perfect in holiness. Hopefully in this morning's sermon, you were able to think some on the holiness that a soul has in glory. That ability to live without sin, that ability to finally separate sin from temptation and struggle to know where the line is. Souls are made perfect in holiness. Who does that work? The Spirit is the one who does that final sanctification of the soul. You may remember a few weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, we talked about how it's the job of the Holy Spirit to sanctify the believer. How when a Christian is converted, or when a person is converted and they are drawn to Christ and brought into union with Christ in justification, we're real happy saying, that's all the Spirit. That's totally the Spirit. But you remember, we said how when the fruit is developing, and if the fruit isn't developing fast enough in the life of somebody, we have a tendency to say, you, when we should be looking to the work of the Spirit, because the work belongs to the Spirit for sanctifying. So as a believer dies and is brought into glory, that believer's soul is made perfect in holiness. The Holy Spirit takes the soul of that believer and, boom, purifies like that. All of those struggles of sanctification are done. All of those trials that drag us down and cause us to struggle as believers, they're set aside. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit in that perfect purification of the soul. Now, you all know me well enough to know that I don't know what it's like to be free from sin, but I imagine that it is so liberating and so wonderful that we can take time even and give praise to the third person of the Trinity as He does that work. Death is something that is difficult for us. It is difficult. Even the death of a saint. But imagine what it's like to have a soul made perfect in holiness. Part of the work of the Spirit. And that brings us to that second aspect of the work that is connected to eschatology, or that which comes at the end, is that the soul immediately passes into glory. Our souls don't sleep in the grave until such a time when our souls will be aroused. As that thief on the cross said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom," the Lord Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise. Today you will be with me." Those souls are brought into the presence of God, where they are sustained by the Spirit, and where they continue to be united to Christ. How can anyone stand in the presence of a holy God? We know theologically that the only way someone can stand in the presence of God is if they too are holy. And the Spirit of God purifies and makes that holiness happen, and then doesn't just say, "Well, now that we've got you in soul at least complete, you wait there. You wait there for some future time or for some future event." Those souls are immediately brought into the presence of God, where they're worshiping, and where they're being sustained, and where they continue in that union with Christ. This is the work of the Spirit as He keeps the beloved. The Puritan Thomas Watson said, The spirits of just men are made perfect. At death, the souls of believers recover virgin purity. Oh, what a blessed privilege this is to be without spot or wrinkle. Imagine that. Standing in the presence of God in that perfection. There's a sense in which, as believers, we should long for that. We should long to be in the presence of God. And I'll admit for myself, as much as many of you would admit, that we feel so tied to this earth that it's almost difficult to think about. It's almost difficult to get our minds wrapped around what it's like to be immediately taken into the presence of God, where we can stand in this purity face to face with Christ. But we know that it's not only our souls that are brought into glory, but we're told also that the bodies of believers remain in union with Christ. The bodies of believers remain in union with Christ. I personally think that this is one of the most awesome benefits for the believer upon death, because we don't think about this very much in the church, that the body of a believer is still in union with Christ, waiting for something to occur. And I think that this is what the Apostle Paul is partially trying to get at in the text that we read, is that we have this tent, and this tent is going to be thrown off, but we're waiting something else. And it's not that that tent is forever thrown off, but that tent is going to be made perfect. That tent is going to be perfected. The Spirit redeems us completely, body and soul. Sometimes when we think about our sanctification, we only think about those things like maybe prayer and Bible reading and our ethics and growing in Jesus and these sorts of things. But as a Christian, the way that one uses his or her body is connected to their growth as a Christian as well. How one eats and how one lives and how one uses that body sexually. All of these things are important in the New Testament because the body is also in union with Christ. We're not Gnostics that believe that someday the soul is going to fly away and the flesh is just going to rot and be left in the grave, never to be recovered. The scriptural teaching is that that body that does rot in the grave, that body will be raised to newness of life. And who keeps that flesh in union with Christ? That's the work of the Spirit. Like we know that the Spirit is omnipresent. But we also know the teaching of the New Testament that there are places where the power of the Spirit is more specifically located. Like we know that the Spirit of God is everywhere, but within the Church of Jesus Christ, the Spirit is present in a special way. And that's true also for bodies of believers. The Spirit is everywhere present. But sustaining that body, keeping that body in union with Christ, even as it rots, is a special work of the Spirit of God. We are sanctified in body and soul. This is why Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4 can say that believers who are dead are resting or sleeping in Christ. Their bodies are sleeping in Christ. That Pauline phrase that shows union. Now, what does this mean for our bodies? J.G. Voss said that Christ regards the human bodies of His people, even though dead and buried, as something exceedingly precious. He intends to raise them up on the last day. Therefore, He does not regard the dead bodies of His people as something worthless to be discarded because it's of no use, but as something valuable to be watched over until the resurrection. The Bible compares the dead body of a Christian to a seed which has been planted and which will spring forth to new life at the appointed time. And this is all the work of the Spirit connected to the body. So we can think of those loved ones that have gone before us, those who are in the Lord that we have buried, and how Christ, through His Spirit, still holds even that flesh precious. And there will come a time even when Jesus, again, like He said to Lazarus, "Lazarus, come forth," that all of those bodies resting in Christ will be called forth as well. And the Spirit of God will do that work of raising them to glory, or raising them to newness of life. We understand something of the doctrine of the resurrection, but who will raise those bodies? Again, as the Holy Spirit has secured the bodies in union, so too the Spirit will answer that call from Jesus. Christian, come forth. And the Spirit of God, as He did in Ezekiel's time in the Valley of Dry Bones, will call those bodies forth, all those who have died in the Lord. We see today something of what the Spirit of God does in what we call personal eschatology, relating to death and relating to our body. The souls of believers at death, made perfect in holiness and immediately passing into glory, and bodies still being united to Christ, resting in the grave until the resurrection. We should give the Spirit of God thanks for the work that He does, even in the death of those who are in Christ, as we anticipate eternity, giving thanks even for the work of the Spirit of God. Amen.